God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. In other words, there's things we go through, we didn't pick them, but God says, this is what you get. This is what you got to go through, right? I see that word vanity. Mercy sakes. Emptiness, right? But we're subject to it. You don't have to choose vanity. I mean, we're in the coach's office the other day, and a bunch of us have short hair, and I thought, I'll keep mine short, so when it falls out and nobody will know, they'll just be like, you know, it'll be a blessing to me. I won't have to cut it, you know? I cut my hair the other day. I usually cut it on the weekends, right? And I cut it like on a Wednesday. And one of the kids like, did you cut your hair? Looks shorter than normal. I said, man, it's been this short since I was probably, I don't know, 12. I don't know. It's always been the same. One of the coaches all fall out. He's like, I enjoyed hair. Back when he had it, and we didn't know how to reply because all the rest of us got short hair. You know, it's like, I don't matter vain about hair, but it was funny. But it brought up the subject of vanity, right? You know, got my suave hair. Got a couple of these kids, man. They could be like Pert Plus suave commercial guys, right? I don't know what it is. It's like this flowing hair. I'm like, dude, if I was you and you're running toss, I'd reach out and grab your little locks and pull you to the ground by your hair. And it's a part of the uniform. That's the rule. Like, if it's underneath and it's dirty, it's like, it's hanging out. Played a bunch of kids Friday night, got t-shirts hanging out. It was sloppy. It just looked sloppy. I said, if I grab that, I'd tear that off. I'd expose his belly, everything. I'd tear his shirt up or something. It's all hanging out. I don't know, but it's cool now. I got the suave hair. My first two kids I coached had the longest hair on the team. They're my Samsons. The one guy was about this tall, but just flowing hair. Like, well, you can see my hair. Amen. So, I'll fit kids for helmets, right? So they got this lot of hair. I was like, you planning on changing much? You know, and I said, are you going to cut your hair this morning? Like, do I have to? Like, no, you don't have to, but are you going to? Because you have so much hair, you might change a whole helmet size, right? And I'm responsible for making sure they're all set up so they don't get rung up. But vanity, mercy sakes, you don't have to choose it, right? You don't have to choose it. Well, the Bible says here, by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. That's exciting. They say, what's this, right? It's what you're in now, right? This physical body. But Paul asked, he said, who shall deliver me? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Their bodies are corrupted, right? And if you don't think so, just watch it happen. I mean, go back in the picture books and look at the glory days, right? You're like, man, you know, it's funny. We go back and look. I remember when I was young, it's like we'd go back and look at pictures of Grandpa. We're like, Mom, and Grandpa's knocked out. Man, this guy's sharp looking dude, man. Grandma was good looking. I was like, it's like, well, how do you guys all think you turned out the way? And I was like, oh, nothing to look at. And I was like, good. You look back, you're like, wow, okay, look now. I'm like, moving on. Let's talk about the grandkids, right, or whatever. But, hey, corruption. It's there. It's up again. Everybody's going through it. Everybody goes through that. The creature. You know, notice there's no S on it, but he's speaking about all of us. It is a reference to the creation, not the world is as well. So we renew in ourselves. I mean, there's a lot of awesome science. There's great biology that goes on, that stuff. But we're not getting better. The world's going down. Every day it becomes more random. That's what we talk about, entropy. And a system that has no outside influence, it tends towards disorder. It's in Scripture twice. It's in Psalm and it's in Peter. The Bible says the Lord's going to change it like a vesture, like a garment. He's going to change it. And he's the only one that can because he made it. He made it to last. But man, when sin came in, boy, it's all messed up. I don't think, I can't prove it. I don't think glaciers were in the original plan. I don't think. But I'd have to look. I don't think it was that way. The Bible talks about the greenhouse and the waters in the deep and the waters above. I think it was just kind of the same a lot of places. But now we have what we have. And you say, well, things are going to change. They're going to continue to change. I don't have to worry about somebody who lives way over on the East Coast saying, oh, right here. Right. No, it's changing. It's changing. You weren't here 300 years ago to measure nothing. You weren't here 1,000 years ago to measure. They found a cave bear, right? 30,000 years old. Guess what? They're going to test that thing and figure out it died like 5 years ago. I guarantee it, right? Found this bear in Siberia. I was looking at a picture of it today. It's like, huge discovery. It's like, give me a break. An animal lived, and then it died. Just like everything else. We're in this system, the Bible says, corruption. But we're going to be delivered, verse 21 says, from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We're going to be good looking again. It's going to happen. I mean, you hear all kinds of promises about that. I think it's going to be your best year, or everybody's going to be 33 in heaven like Jesus was. I was like, you can't prove none of that stuff. But I say we're going to be pretty good looking, right? I think. There's no corruption there. It's going to be good. It's going to be really good. The Bible says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. It's an interesting verse. The groaning, the travailing, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, right? We know there's something better. There are a lot of people that say without Christ, they're just getting old. They're going to die. They still go through the aches and pains and the breakdowns and all that stuff. There's no hope at the end of that thing. They don't know. They don't know of anything else to come. They don't know of anything else that's better. But the Bible says that we have first fruits of this Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Right? Papers have been signed. We're just waiting for it to take place. Our day in court, so to speak, right? They have the adoption, they go before the judge, and then that's the adoption. That's where everybody comes and celebrate that thing. It's wonderful. That day's yet to come. Papers have already been signed, right? Jesus paid the price. We put our trust in Him. Papers have been signed. The Bible tells us up in verse number 16, we're children of God if we've trusted Christ. So that's taken place, but we're still waiting for the actual transaction. We're waiting for the adoption to be made into the glorious image of Christ. I mean, the Bible says when we see Him in 1 John 2, we shall be like Him. It says we shall see Him as He is. We'll be like Him. Things are going to change. It's going to be amazing. But currently now, we're in this body of corruption. That's what's taking place. Verse 24 says, we are saved by hope. Okay, now, talking about saved here, right? You could be a mental state, your thoughts, whatever it is. And I'm stuck in this corruption. Yeah, but there's hope. That's an awesome thing. When you have hope, that helps so many things. Things are going to change. Things are going to be better. The Lord's coming. We're going to go be with Him. We're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is, what does it say? Nolan, what's it say? Verse number 24. Hope that is seen is what? It's not hope. Right? There's those people out there. Show me the money. No. You don't get to see it. Right? You got hope for it. Right? But we know it's there because we know God's real. We know that. It says, hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? Right? All the fishermen can answer that. They can see the fish sitting out there. And they're just like, Lord, come on. Hope. And after you've exhausted all your tackle, you're like, there is no hope. You know, they're just laughing at me is what they're doing. Anyhow. But we're waiting for it. We're waiting for it. It's there. It's there. The Bible says, but if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. And that's not the easy job, right? But that's what God has us do. So the promise here is hope. We live in a system of corruption. We're breaking down. It's happening. But we're going to be changed eventually. God's going to change us. We're going to be with Him. That's going to be changed. So we have a hope. That's one of the promises here in chapter 8. The next two verses, 26 and 27, more great promises. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Okay? So when it says likewise, it means with something else, in addition to, and it's in addition to this hope. Okay? It's addition to the hope. I mean, you read, my passage that I'm thinking of in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It talks about the body breaking down. It's a great chapter, right? But it's true. It's what happens. It talks about the eyes growing dim. It talks about your all sorts of stuff. Your ears not being able to hear, and your teeth and the grinders being low, and all kinds of things. That's what happened. We're in the system of corruption. We're breaking down. Ah, but we're going to be rescued from that. We're going to get that glorified body. That's hope. Hopefully that helps you. This, likewise, should also help you. The Spirit, like we said last week to the young people, capital S, it's speaking of the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Let the guys in prison interpret that verse for you. It's interesting. They have all sorts of good interpretations for it. I heard all sorts of crazy stuff. What's it come down to? He helps us pray. We're this broken body, right? I mean, you think about it. You're living in a broke vessel physically, right? We've been paid for. We've been bought by Christ. But we still got to live in this corrupt system, right? So we're there. And then somehow we're supposed to get the job done for the Lord and to pray right and all these things. And so many people are like, well, I don't know what to pray for. I'm going to pray for this. I'm going to pray for this. And pray this way and pray this way. And it's like, how do you know? How do you know? I just get this real simple. I say, Lord, you know what we need. We got a brother here that's got this going on. He's like, how do you pray for Brother Rich? Well, I want him to have this and I want him to have that. Okay, that's great. If God's will behind that in your heart, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that has to be, otherwise anything short of that, what you pray for, you either blame or you get frustrated or something, or y'all didn't pray or something, you know. No. Lord, we want your will to be done for our dear brother. Whatever that means. Our blessed brother, Patch the Pirate, Brother Hamilton, right? The eye was a testimony. It was huge. I remember as a little kid. I still remember hearing this story. When I hear this story, I think of the back of the church I grew up in where I got saved. I just remember that. I don't know why those places and things are all together, but I just remember that there. Lost his eye. Cancer. And I was little, you know, I was like, that's cancer. What's this, you know? I mean, the book that I'm reading now from 1600s, he talks about cancer. I mean, it's there. We live in a corrupt, broken system. Right? It's like, oh, it's new. No, not really. Right? We lose an eye, but we're still listening to Pastor Pirate. We're still learning Bible lessons. We're still singing songs. Right? Great testimony. Used it for good. And Brother Hamilton said he probably didn't even know who he is. Pray for him. Pray for Miss Hamilton. He's writing a book about some of the mental illness and things that their family has gone through. And just saying, look, this is the truth. This is what we've gone through. It's a mess. Oh, Lord, they love you. They want to serve you. Why would you do that? No. We live in a corrupt body. We live in a broken system. And the Spirit, just like the hope that we have in Christ and the hope that we have in the future of our glorification, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. I don't know what to pray. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what we need to pray for. Help me to pray. Lord, would you pray? Pray that you'd... And then you just start answering. You do show your love for that person to God. I mean, you pray. Say, and I don't know what to pray. I don't know what you'd have, but we would desire this. We would love to have this, Lord, but we want your will. Most of all, we want your will. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to take place. The Bible says, verse 27... And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. We're talking about here. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So we have our intercessor. We'll see, we have our intercessor in Christ down in 34 when we get there. That he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. He knows. So if he's helping us to pray, even in this corrupt body, we can get our prayers to God. We can get them there. We can pray as we should. And it's very important in the spiritual battle that we do very much pray. We talked about this morning. Praying, giving God that thing that besets us, giving God that thing, that lust that keeps creeping back in. But pray. Give that to God. Just like we talked about Abraham's love for Isaac. Going to make sure that love wasn't, I think our invitation tonight's nothing between. Right? I mean, it's the truth. whatever it is. There's so many things in this word God said, here, this is for your enjoyment. Hey, I never made that for you to love that more than me. That's crazy. I made you, I made that, but you love that. And Romans 1 talks about we take the things that God made and we love them more than we love Him. It's nuts. Get the thing all mixed up. We're calling bad good, we're calling good bad, and we get it all mixed up. We're in this corrupt body, we're in a messed up system, it's a mess. We've got to make sure that things are the way that God would have them to be. That they're correct, that they're right. The Bible says in verse 28, we know that all things work together for good. Okay? Now, we have already got the hope in Christ. Okay? A lot of people say, well, we all know. Okay? Look at the first three words. Okay? This is the Apostle Paul. He says, we know. He also says in Thessalonians, I know whom I have believed. Well, I hope I... Yeah. No. He already knows. And he's accounted God faithful. He knows. He's seen it in his own life. He knows. So when he says, I know, I've experienced it, I've been in it, I've seen it. If you're dealing with somebody that's young Christian, you can show them that verse. They may not know that yet. They may have to go a few miles down the road and take their lumps and say, yeah, God is faithful. God is true. He is going to work it together for God. How come God let that happen in my life? Oh, I'm blank. No. Don't. You just wait and see how it turns out in the end. It's amazing. The one that has the power of death, he's trying to wreck shop. He's trying to mess stuff up. He's trying, but we have the life giver that comes and makes all things well. Right? And we want to see it done on a weekend. And we want to see it done in, all movies are 2 hours. It's going to happen in 2 hours. Or it's not going to happen. No! It may take years! But we never read the end of the story. We never see the end, right? So we all like Paul Harvey stuff so much, right? But Paul Harvey tells what the end of the story was, you know? However many years later, like, that's unbelievable. Yeah, we're really going to be amazed when we get to heaven. And we see what God's done. Like, that's amazing. Lost track of that person. I can't believe they turned into that. I can't believe God did that. That's amazing. Paul says, we know. Not everybody thinks that everybody you think's knocking it out for God is. And not everybody you think's dragging bottom is. You just don't know. We don't know. Well, we know this about God. We know this. We know that all things work together for good. Two, now there's a direction here, okay? It's to somebody, okay? And it's mentioned twice in the verse. You can be whoever you are and say, well, I'm going to claim this, whatever. If you have no relationship with Christ, this verse doesn't really pertain to those people at all. Like, I mean, you can hope in that, but you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and then grab a hold of this one here. That's the order. The Bible says that all things work together for good. To who? To them that love God. Is there a difference between love and like? There is. I mean, you love him. You don't care what he does to you. You don't care if he kills you like Job. He said, hey, if he slays me, I'm going to trust him still. Amen. He made me. It's like, I don't care what he does to me. I love him. I don't care what he does. Do what you will. It's like, do your word. Do what you will. He loves us. And he says, let me have my way. Let me be your potter, please. Lord, you do it. You do it. To them that love God, on the surface, it may look like, what are you doing? Right? I mean, Rich's deal is just starting, right? But, I mean, we don't know. We don't even know Brother Rich, right? I mean, there's all the years before and all. I mean, just like God's working this thing. Like, you just don't know. I mean, same with Miss Corey. It's like God's working this thing. You just don't know. And the kids, we don't know. You don't know. You just keep trusting the Lord. And so we know. God works all things together. He's going to work them together. To them that love God. To the blamers, the people that blame God, yeah, nothing's going to make sense because they have to know everything and understand everything. I'm going to burst your bubble. Don't stay up at night trying to understand God. Go to sleep at night trusting God, right, Brother Joe? Just trust Him and sleep like a baby. Instead of, I got to figure out why He didn't. Yeah. wake up tired. Yeah. More coffee. Not going to work. He's going to work them together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His
purpose. You can't have Burger King Christianity and this. You can't have it your way and hope God gets what he... Don't work that way. It's God first. It's God all the way. I want to go with him. I mean, glorification is going to be an awesome thing. But I'm just like, you know, whatever you want to do. I'm, what, 38? 38 now. We're all figuring out how old we are in the coach's room. Who has seniority? There's like three of us that are all a year, within the same year. So I'm older than you and I'm older than you. But we got two that are really old. But anyways, what if you don't make it to 39? Hey, it's been great. Amen? I mean, you never know. But you never know. He's going to work all things together. According, I'm part of his purpose. I want to be part of his purpose. Lord, whatever your purpose is, just use me in that. Right? Just use me in it. Here's the materials. You be the artiste. You be the one that directs all things, and you just use me as a lump, and you fill in the cracks in the wall with me, or whatever I end up being. You do that. But most people are like, Lord, what about my purpose? What about my intention? Well, that's not going to work. That's not good. We're kicking against what God already has set up. That needs to change. If you're tonight and that you struggle with, man, my theology, God's working my world, and sticking, shaking up my little snowball globe of a life. I mean, it's his purpose. The sooner you get on board with God doing his thing, the better you're off you're going to be as a Christian. I mean, understanding that we're here to serve him. He's not here to serve us. He taught us the lesson. Christ did. He says, I mean, the disciples sitting there is like, who's number one? Well, I don't know. Maybe Peter, because he's the biggest. Do you guys think Peter was the biggest? I don't know. I see him as a bigger guy, not a small guy per se, but who knows, right? I think John was a little bit quieter than Peter was and all that, you know, all these things. Who's the great? And God says, the person that serves everybody. Now let's start washing feet, right? Oh, you can't wash my feet. Well, then you got no part of me. Oh, then wash my head. And all of a sudden, I mean, we're such meatheads, right? We're trying to tell Jesus how it works. He said, just close your mouth and let me do my thing, you know. And come with me. Be with me. That's all he wants. Be a part of his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, not us. He foreknew us. From the very beginning he knew us. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Look out, okay. That's the same one that paid the price on the hill. Okay, conform to the image. Paul says that in Philippians chapter number 3. He said that we would know him. Okay, the power of the resurrection. Ooh, the fellowship of the suffering. Right? That's what being conformed, you know. I almost want to tease people in other groups that say, oh, I've been through confirmation. Oh, good. You're confirmed that you're going to be conformed to the image of his son? That's amazing. What are you talking about? Oh, sorry. Thought we were talking about the Bible, you know. The sarcasm, right? But I mean, it's just, hey, this is what we're talking about. Oh, I'm not on board with that. Oh, we need to be. We need to be on board. We need to let God work and shape us. You're no finished product. I'm no finished product. Formed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Don't let these scriptures get you twisted up, thinking God has a subset of people that he's made that he wants to just treat special. It's not true. He's no respecter of person. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not whosoever God made and chooses, then that's who's going to get. No, it doesn't work that way. We all have that choice. We all have a choice. The Bible says, 31, what shall we then say to these things? Okay. How could we sum this up, Paul would say? Sum it up for us. Look how awesome this next statement is. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's pretty good, right? I mean, Monday's coming. I talked about it this morning, right? Get that on your coffee cup. God's for me. Okay. I don't care about you. Right? You just stay. Some Monday mornings, right? You just stand in a war zone. Your house is burned to the ground, but you're there drinking your coffee and you're, you know, in your jammies or whatever. I don't care. God's for me, right? And everything's coming down. It's okay. Because God's for you. God's for you. Who can be against us? In other words, who's going to stand against God and strike a blow?
Right? And make sure you're in Christ. We'll make sure you're there. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things you need. Is he going to keep your necessities that you need from you when he's given you the most precious thing that he has? Now, we're not smart enough to ask for the most precious thing. We just want something simple, right? We want something. God's like, well, I got this other. Oh, let me see in there. Let me see in that room. That's awesome. Wow. Can I have some of that? So, well, yeah, sure. Really? Yeah, I just ask for it. You're going to use it for my purpose. You're going to do this with it. You're going to take. Yes, ask and you shall receive. Those are all things good and well. But as we spend more time in Christ, Lord, I say, do you need anything? I don't need anything. I just need you. I just need you. I don't need stuff. I just need you. I just need you. But he promises here, he says, if I didn't hold back Christ from you, why would I hold back the things that you need? Why would I hold back necessities? Why would I hold back blessings? I've given you my son. And Paul is saying this. He understands these things. Who shall lay anything, verse 33 says, to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. He's the one that has to change it. Romans 3 has us. We're set. We're justified. The Bible says in verse 34, who is he that condemneth? Right? My page, I got to flip it back to verse 1. If you go back to verse number 1 of chapter 8, okay, so that verse asks us, 34, who is he that condemneth? Back to verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And Paul is saying, who is he that condemneth? It's not coming from God. We got an accuser of the brethren, right? But guess what? That just leaves us, right? He gets a thought into the flesh and, oh, you dirty rascal, and we condemn ourselves. God doesn't want that. He doesn't want a child that he says, look, justified, I'm giving you the things you need, I'm helping you pray, we're intercessing for you, you got hope out of this corrupt body, you're going to be glorified one day. Yeah, I'm condemned. You know? No. No. I mean, you see a building that's been condemned, right? It's corded off. It's got, and you can't go in it, right? It could be the they're doing things in there they shouldn't have been doing, and it's in the walls. It could be that the structure's not sound. It could fall down. I mean, whatever it is, they're like, you stay out of there. And condemned? No. In Christ and condemned? No. No, 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 no. That doesn't work. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Nobody remembers me. Don't forget Romans 8, right? You have intercessors. The Holy Spirit helps you to pray. And Christ, he's praying for you. He says the same thing in John 17. I pray for them also that believe upon their word. He's praying for us. I love it. I have a handful of people in my life, and they text me, and I'm praying for you, and praying for you, and praying for you. The faithful, they pray and pray and pray, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful that Christ prays for me. He intercedes. I don't have to get down in the dirt and just be like, oh, man, oh, I'm the only one. Nobody remembers where I am. And so don't think that's not real. That happens to people, whether admit it or not. Satan slips out when it's one of his fiery darts. You're a loner. Right? You're alone. Right now, I'm attacking those people afraid of being alone, too. Right? And they got the loners. That ain't the one that gets them. You know? It's like, I like to be alone. I like to be alone. People are like, I don't want to be alone. You're alone. You're alone. Nobody else knows what you're going through. Nobody else understands. Oh, no. That's not true. It's not true. Expose that. Those lies come in. You can just expose them. You can tell it to yourself. I mean, there's the war that goes on in the mind. You may think you sound crazy. Just get off by yourself. Nobody else hear you talk, right? And have it out loud and get that stuff settled. Look, this is what the book says, Keith Garner. Yes, yes. And we believe that to be true. What are you talking about? I'm talking to myself, right? Oh, the devil's put in a thought here. They're a loner and nobody cares about you. Oh, but the Bible says that the Lord Jesus makes intercession for me. And the Word of God is true. God won't lie to me. But I have the devil over here that he's the father of lies. So I'm going with the truth. Christ makes intercession for me. He's given me hope. He's given me hope out of this corrupt body that I have, that I'd be glorified one day. I have His Spirit who helps me to pray. I have the knowledge, and I believe in that, and God's put me through the tests, and I know that He's going to work stuff together for good. I'm here for Him. I'm here to be a part of His program. I'm here to be used in His purpose, so I know it's going to work together. I don't expect in my little pea brain to be able to see all the tapestry weave together over time, but if God gives me a little glimpse every now and again of the blessings and how things work, I'll just give all praise to Him and be amazed by it and take no credit for any of that stuff, right? So some people are. It's like, well, if I can get... Oh, yeah, yeah, and then, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do it. You let God build all that stuff. You let God be the quilter or the whatever. You just let Him do it, and you just don't get in the way, right? And cause problems. You let God do those things to say, oh, if I could just make this and this and this and this. You know, you get people that come up, like this guy that called him, oh, I'd like to come check out. Let's go. Oh, yeah. Well, we could just send him to Cordova because we need a pastor there. Or we could send him to Wayne. I get it, right? People, but we're not like pegs and like peg holes. I mean, God's the orchestrator. It's like, yeah, there's a need there, but it's like, is it going to be them? I don't know. Be awesome, right? I mean, we think that way. We think, oh, all they need is it, right? Because we're so used to just, hey, let's fix this. Need this. It's broke. Replace it. Yeah. Totally different system. God knows all the compatibilities. He knows all those things. And you just tell him, God, I don't even know how to ask for this. I don't even know what our part is this. I mean, when Brother Menendez and that bunch showed up, like, I don't know. I don't know. It's like, what do you do? Just help them, pray for them, help them along. It's like, I don't know what to do. What do you do? I have no idea what to do. What do we do for the people over in Croatia? I don't know. We pray for them. What do you pray for? Holy Spirit knows. Lord, do you know there's good people over there? There's kids over there that need to learn about Christ. There's drunk fishermen over there that need to learn about Christ. That's the truth. I've been on the streets. Bar. Bow pickers, and there's two of them in every driveway. There's not a lot of land over there. Cordova's just like smeared into the hillside. I mean, it's just, it's right there. You go through a cut. There's the lake. There's a little landing strip on the side of the lake. And then there's nothing. That earthquake messed stuff up there. I mean, there's arsenic in the water, just in the surface water. It's messed up. There's people selling property. They'd be like, oh, there's property for sale. Well, it's like this 2 acres, and it's like 35 miles that way, locked up in the woods. You know, some native guy selling his property. And there's no property. When we were there, we looked at this property. We're like, I'm no joke. The driveway was like this. I mean, we do stuff in Washington, but I'm just thinking, like, not now. I'm thinking, like, wintertime. Like, are you serious? Oh, yeah, this is the, you know, I'm like, this is insane. They need a church. They need it. There's a Coast Guard station that runs it. People that come in and out. I mean, it's like, if our church wasn't here, you say, well, there needs to be a church. Or, yeah, it's same as there. But I don't know. I don't know who it's going to be. But we just pray. We pray. We know the Lord that does all things well. Can supply that need. We don't want to ever just say, oh, you should just, you know, this brother call, talk to him and say, you know, some things I've learned about Alaska, right? You ever been here yet? You know, have you been here yet? One of the things that was nice about us is we'd come up for like 14 years. Like, yeah, I've been there a few times, right? Not in the wintertime. I said, been up here. Eastern Washington. There's years we get more snow there than here. Not quite as cold. Quite as long. Our lakes don't freeze 8 foot plus thick of ice, right? But the Lord knows. And Pastor Paisley, but he's just like, oh, Brother Garner, he's cut out for that. I don't know. I don't know. And I don't worry about that. All I know is if you stuck me in the concrete jungle, if you told me I was going to have a build a church and I don't talk about building a church, and I don't consider it here. I'd say, pastor in Sacramento, California, Los Angeles, California. You're laughing. You know. You all have to be reading Bible to me and helping me, right? We need to encourage our pastor. Yeah, you do. Okay. Let me out of here. Because the Lord knows. He knows all those things. He knows He'll work all those things together for good. I tell you, redneck here. I'm going to stick him over here. Y'all a little bit of a redneck. That's why I'm here. You guys get that. I hope you understand. There's a little bad. Whether you've ever accepted that or not in your life. Right? Brother Tony. For sure, right? You got a buggy. I mean, you're there. Amen. Praise God. But you just never know. So we look and say, oh, if we could just take this. No. Don't do that. Don't do that. See, a lot of people get hurt that way. We try playing the, you know, want to move that or do this or that. I'll let God do those things. Let Him work all those things together. We're going to stop there in 34 tonight. 35, 36, 37, 38, 39. The with some of the greatest promises in the Bible. Security of the believer. Paul asks, and this is the questions, right? He's not like the state making the statements here. You think about them. Listen to these questions and we're done. If God be for us, who could be against us? Right? You answer that for yourself. Who is he that condemneth? You answer that for yourself. 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You answer that for yourself. And find Bible verses, please, to back up your answers. Right? Those should help you. Those should help you. Those should make you secure in your mind and in your heart of what God's going to do, what God has done, and it just be an encouragement to others and not to worry about. I mean, October is going to be a crazy month in our nation. It's going to be insane. And the first 2 days of November are going to be nutty, and things are going to be crazy, and we're going to come Wednesday night and share crazy stories of what it was like at the polls waiting 27 hours to vote because we all had to be 10 miles apart and all this crazy stuff that's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to be nuts. Right? But I'm not letting all that affect how I see this. Let's stand tonight. Let's stand tonight and sing. 304 tonight. Nothing between. Anything troubling you tonight, would you come pray? We'll pray for Brother Rich, too, when we close tonight. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. 304 tonight, we'll sing.